which was 2 months ago, which was right before we both got sick. We started talking about the laundry striker when you first came out here.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going through all those papers about Alex, and I came across all these things, and so I want to go back to that whole incident. Okay, you came out in 38. Right. And then you didn't work for a while. Then you must have started working in the office at the end of 38. That's when you wrote for Ellett. The letter to Frank is at the end of
1938. Yeah. I should have those letters.
Yeah, I have that letter.
The letter to Frank
asked that Ellett be sent back.
Yeah.
Now, what was the situation here exactly? You talk about someone named Spitzer. You talk about Jack.
Fisher?
It doesn't say, it just said Jack. And then someone else named Spitzer.
Yes.
Now, what was happening in the local here that you were pushing to get Ellett out here?
Have you got the letter handy?
Yeah, I can find it. Asking for that Ellett come out. So that was what? That's October 1938?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you came out in when? Do you remember what month it was?
I came out April the 1st.
Oh.
In 1938.
So you didn't work for about 6 months then?
I don't remember. I started in 39 in the union office.
Oh, when you wrote Frank, you weren't working in the office yet?
I don't know. I don't think so. Let's see. Yeah.
I hear that when you wrote Frank, asking for Ellett, that you must have already been in the office.
Well, during this time, it was a question. See, there was a fight between the communists and it was a total upheaval, as I recall. This was terrible.
Now, the manager who was here was a communist?
No, he was not. The manager that was here was quite a country. He was a cutter. What was his name?
Who was Peppercorn?
Peppercorn was a temporary man from Cleveland. He was a manager from Cleveland. He was a good man.
Now, and who was Spitzer?
Spitzer was also a general man. He was a sidekick of Frank Rosenblum. He was an all-around man.
Oh,
he was a good man.
Before Ellett came, though, one who was the manager was not a communist, and the communists were fighting with him. Is that it?
Let me, if I get this clear in my head, I'll know where I'm at. I'm going to put this aside for
okay.
me, because I'm. She got me off. I didn't expect her. Put this aside. Have you got anything else that you would want to?
Okay. Well, I was going to start with 1939, but we can go back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with this way, we'd have to jump to when you started at Newark. And then we can go back to 39.
Have we got the exact date when I started in Newark?
No, I don't have the date.
Well, I have it among
among
these papers. I got the exact date.
Oh.
It's
Well, no, but you started at Lewis in the 40s, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through that. I think that it was a speech that you made somewhere.
I don't recall. I don't remember.
But I'd like you to read one of those. Give it to me as a speech.
This is my message to women members. Say, well, I must have sent it somewhere.
I think you must have given it somewhere.
I think so. But I have no recollection of it. To hell. So what do you want me to read? This?
Whichever one of those. They're similar, but they seem to be different. You did it a couple of different...
Well... I was typing at the time. Well, which one do you want me to read?
Which one do you like that?
I don't know. I would have to read them all. I don't know how to do those things, but I know that's being done. I'll read this. Shall I give you the address and all?
Or just the date?
Just the date? April 12, 1956. A message to the women members of the ACWRA. Wake up and take your proper places in the union. You are way more in a majority in your union. You are and worthy on the picket lines. You are paying the same dues, and in general, you have contributed as much as men in building this great, our glorious amalgamated clothing workers of America. Your union constitution tells you that you have the same rights as the men, but your union leaders also tells you in time of local or national election to vote for candidates that will represent the workers' interest. Of course, that is a fact. And you don't even know that. But that does not take away the fact that your union leaders don't resort to the same rotten politics that the McCarthy's and the likes of him make up women members. Wake up, women members. You have constitutional rights. But what are the facts? You have no representation on the General Executive Board. Sure, they tell you that they have. Now, let us examine the records. They have Bessie Hillman. Well, at least Bessie made great contribution in the early days in the union. Then you have a woman, a college-graduate worker. Sure, there is room for women like her in the union. But the place held by her on the General Executive Board should be occupied by a woman member from the shop. Women members of the ACWRA, wake up and take your right place in your union. This is my message to the women members of the ACWRA. So this is really a few highlights of discriminating against the military women workers members. The ACWRA is not alone being the members of the ACWRA. It is best to confine this important call to the union in the ACWRA. That's number one.
Yeah,
Boy, that hit.
I think that it must have been, you must have gone some. It must have been something.
I don't recall.
You know, they're not very different, I guess. They're very similar. You may have just changed a word here or there, you see.
Well, so boy, Bobby. Inequities and different. Inequities that exist. Unfortunately,
it's
condition.
It's different.
And women wake up and they...
See, this one's different.
Well, you want me to read this? Can I?
Yes, I think it'd be good to have this.
You got the data on the same data, I suppose. Did it start the same day?
Yeah, it looks like it's the same, and in the end it's a little different.
Wake up and take your proper places in your union. You outnumber the men 4-1. You proves that you have been on the picket lines in the formation of this union. You are on the picket lines today. You are paying the same amount of dues. In general, you have and are making a greater contribution than your fellow men. And yet, you have little or almost nothing to say concerning conditions in your shops and even least in making union policies. Sure, the subordinate leadership will tell you that you have all the rights if you only would take an active part in your union activities. Of course there's... Of course there can be no disagreement on that score. However, there is the factor to take into consideration, and that is that women are comparatively new in the field of politics as well as in industry. Therefore, it is the undisputed duties of your union leadership to give its women members unqualified support and encouragement to enable them to take their rightful places in the union that helped to build it. Women in the environment, wake up and be counted. Your leadership is one-sided. I'm not exaggerating. God will be determined to others. Well, I say, well, I get incensed. And what is their background? Your leadership is one-sided. Just take a good look at your representatives. Who are they? And what is their background? Not one of them can claim a college education. In fact, few, if any, even a high school education. But that does not but do not think that you women members of the shop are suitable to hold positions held by them, even though you measure up to knowledge and what is most distressing is that to cover up their unwillingness to the rightful places in the union for you, they will hire college women who by the powerful organization this is wrong. They will hire college women who by could perform statisticians or other clerical work needed in a large and powerful organization such as you women members make possible. But instead, what do you find? These college women are placed on the general executive board, a place that rightfully belongs to you women from the shop. I told him that. I made it clear time and time again. I have no objections. We need those college people. I'm not a... My God, I want people. We need people. I pointed out not very long ago. I remember when Hillman said, you can't put a teller in to go on a bank, a labor bank, and maybe a labor bank, but he's not qualified to run a bank. Nor is he qualified to draw a blueprint for a new complex machinery. It takes engineers. A teller is not an engineer. He can produce them. But when it comes to standards, quality, pushing a needle, a college man or a draftsman, he can draw blueprint, he can lay out plans for a bank, he can run a bank, he cannot produce, make a coat, he cannot make pockets, or paste armholes, or make buttonholes. It takes a tailor to do it. Then it takes a tailor to set rates and make conditions for those people. Why put somebody in there that doesn't know what first thing about it? And then I still think that I'm crazy.
You don't remember the occasion for this? I did
and more than one occasion. Here, this is nothing new. I just kept this for myself. Time and time again, I brought this up.
Now, where would you bring it up? Like to the...
This up at the joint board. I brought it up at the executive board. I brought it up at local meetings. I brought it up at shop meetings. I was called every name under the sun.
You once told me that you wouldn't call yourself a feminist, that your friend Hilda was a feminist. Was it Hilda that you told me was a feminist?
She was a feminist like I was.
Because when you say things like that, you're fighting for women and those kinds of things.
Well, I fight because they're wrong. See, now the men that have brains, what they do is what happens. They bring them because then they come in, college people come in. Engineers come in and devise the machinery, labor saving devices, and put women on there, and they didn't want to join the union. That was my fight while I was in Brookwood. I think you come across one of those speeches that I gave in Brookwood. Why it's a women's forum, but not belong to me. I don't remember the exact title that I gave it. Also, they thought I was crazy. I'm crazy like a fox when it comes down to these things. It isn't. Sure, I'm more sympathetic to them. I can't. After all, I am a woman, I think.
But where did it come from? I mean, all the other women, for instance, like Bessie Hillman, who was obviously incensed at injustice, but she still didn't fight for the women in the union. Where did your fight for the women come from, do you think?
Where it came from? Injustice, that's all. Plain talk. So how can you watch anything like that? You see, now I can see Scala, a Bohemian business agent. I think I was in Factory B. And Hutchinson Mark must have been I don't remember dates anymore, and I didn't pull it down. Maybe you see that the hell of it is that the women themselves, they didn't. They couldn't see it. They thought that the men were right. They couldn't see that they were being abused. They were brought up with a smile. If a man tickled them and got a hold of their breast and so on, they were brought up and came to voting with a ballot box. Sure, he had the right. there's so much talk about it, it makes me sick. Even at this age, it makes me sick. It's much better now. Conditions are much... Because it's the law. It's not the union. See, that's what hurts me. It's the law that prevents them from doing what they did in those days. What I cried about, and you're going to come back to your original question, how come I don't claim to be a feminist? I don't know what you mean by being not being a feminist. How can I be anything else but a feminist? I'm a worker. Primarily, I was a worker. But certainly, I am one of them. It so happened that I gave the appearance of a strong horse, and I was an unusually fast worker. I moved very fast. You can't judge my past by what you see in me now, that I go slowly, work slowly. I was like a firebrand. My hands and my mind worked like hell. And I had aches and pains just the same as them. I tried to overcome it by working out. I couldn't see the injustice. I couldn't see if a man was abused. You find, especially in Newark, but a man, I know that he was in 1910 strike and he was beaten up. And this bastard, well, I was surely that I had protected him. Meant nothing to him. Fire, and he's fired. And I don't to think about it. So did it make any difference whether he was a man or a woman? It was the injustice that bothered me most. But primarily, the majority workers that were abused in the clothing factories were the women. So that's why I had to be a feminist. But why do you want a woman? What do you want a woman to look at? You can take care of yourself. I said, I'm not interested in myself. I can take care of myself and then some. I didn't give a damn. It was human whom I looked up to. I looked up to him. But I didn't give a damn, and he came in to give us a reduction. I said, we didn't have to pay $500 to tell us that we were going to get a reduction. We could use our own hall. I didn't give a good goddamn. I mean, such things that, who would think that they were interested kind of the average worker, unfortunately. Very few that took it philosophically, idealistically. Yes. So, fight the Masonic Temple. I did. So what? So I got my head knocked down. I was I wish I were dead, but I wouldn't give, I didn't let them know. I never let anybody know the way I felt, because then they would have stepped all over. The more they hurt me, the more resilient I got, the more I jumped up, and I fought. It wasn't right, and finally it got me. So I had to come out. I had to come out here. I had to go to Florida. I was in Florida. I didn't go for pleasure, believe me. I didn't go for pleasure. But, okay, so what's the next question?
See, because you once said, no, I wouldn't call myself a feminist, and then I come across these things.
Well, now that it makes clear, am I a feminist?
I said all along you were. I didn't care if you called yourself one or not.
Well, I don't. I call myself a humanist. That's what I call myself, a humanist. As far as that goes, I don't know. I call myself a nothing most of the time. I am nothing. I was nothing. I'll be nothing. Well, that's all right. But I am nothing, and there are many nothing. There are more nothings in this world than somethings. Now that's it makes me go on. Otherwise, many times. I'm not in love with life. I was never in love with life. I just went on.
Do you want to take that off?
If you give me a candy, I'll be all right.
Okay.
It's on this side. That's right. You see, pick one for yourself. Now, I'll have it. I want a sour one. You can have it. See, I was in aches and pains, but I put up a front, a liar. I was talking to my sister last time he took me there. I tell you the same thing. I never lied. The only time I lied, he would lie, was the sailor worker's job. For myself, I lied if I wanted to get a job. I can do everything and anything to lie, otherwise I... Like, this first I had to struggle to have enough bread and necessities. Then I had, then what the hell do you want? Now you got this. Now you got, what do you want now? I keep bawling myself out. What are you complaining about? I didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. I don't do enough. Because you find it all the way through. Why didn't I do enough? What the hell else could I have done? In my position, my condition, I wasn't a well person. I was never completely well. Never. Since I remember myself. Since I was 3 years old. My mother dropped. She was carrying in wood. I just came across. I wrote it down. You come across it. She herself almost passed out. She was so scared. But run away, you know, kids. I have the mark after the years later they had to operate on it. And it was one thing, it was another. But I was the strongest in the family, apparently. See, now here I put down some interesting features pertaining to Brookwood. So you find that you find some of marked down, so you wouldn't have such a hard time.
Yeah. Okay, I think what I'll do is I'm going to take both boxes home. And I'll do more sorting. Because if I have a big spell out of it. Can you remember more details of what the shop was like in 1908? 1909, before the strike. Just physically, what was it like in terms of how, if it was cold, what the light was like in the bedroom?
It's very pathetic. I want to tell you. It so happened, I worked in Hart Chesham Market, and that was the nicest shop. And the house, it was cold and miserable. I'm going to get through the camera and the photograph. I'm going to tell you the way we live.